the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, where we will read again and consider particularly, by the grace of the Lord and the work of His Holy Spirit, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And Lord bless the reading and now the preaching of His holy word. By way of brief introduction, the book of Proverbs teaches the church what life in God's covenant is supposed to look like, what the way of wisdom is to be. And the root of that wisdom is found in faith, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we may not have good works without first being united to Christ, who is Himself the wisdom of God. We may not have good works first and apart from faith in Christ. And so, from that foundation, the Lord lays out in His word throughout this book the contrast, the clear contrast between the way of folly and the way of wisdom, the way of the world and the way of the Lord. And so as you read this book, as it is a book of poetry, divinely inspired, spirit-inspired poetry, you find the classic mark of that genre in Scripture. And that is what's called parallelism, that there is often these couplets. And so really in our text, we find ourselves in the middle of a couplet, in the middle of a picking up. In verse 32, it says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The wages of sin is death." But our text particularly focuses here on, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So that while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we will consider these three points from this passage. First, listening to the voice of Christ. Second, the Christian's dwelling in safety. And third, the Christian's quiet from fear of evil. But first, listening to the voice of Christ. The scripture says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me," or whoever listens to me. Well, who, to whom do we listen? Who is the me in that passage? Well, we are to listen to the triune God, that we worship one God in three persons, that there is one undivided will which is revealed in the word of God, that God is all-powerful and all-wise. And so we listen to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And this is who is speaking in the whole of the word of God. And particularly as we consider our text, and most notably, God the Son. But God the Father instructs His children. Proverbs 1:8, we read, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." So that God the Father says to His children adopted in Jesus Christ, "Listen to my word." Children, as you listen to the instruction of your fathers, would you learn to listen to the instruction of your Father who is in heaven? That we listen to God the Son, who is described in chapter 1, verse 1, the very opening of this, the Son of David, the King of Israel. Son of David here referring to Solomon at that time, but referring to the one who is greater than Solomon. In Matthew 12:42, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So that the uttermost parts of the earth would come to listen to Christ, who is the light to the Gentiles. Christ, the Son of David. Christ, the King of Israel, who exercises in this book the office of prophet, revealing to us by his word and his spirit the will of God for our salvation, who exercises his office in this book as the King, subduing us to himself, and indeed who is the voice of wisdom crying out in the streets and in the marketplace. For Christ is, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, called the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who in Isaiah is called the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. He is the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. These phrases which are used throughout the book of Proverbs. The Spirit regenerates us, makes that which is dead alive in Christ, and unites us to Christ through faith by trusting in him. And he sanctifies us that we should heed the word of our Heavenly Father and the word of his Son. But the objection comes up nowadays, but shouldn't we listen to all voices? Shouldn't we listen to every voice? And because there's something to learn in everything. This is the cry of our pluralistic culture, which has even seeped into the visible church. But remember that there are two primary characters in Proverbs. There's wisdom and folly. There is the way of the Father's instruction, which is the way of faith. And there is the way of the adulterous woman, which is the way of apostasy. And we are to heed the voice of God. We are to listen to the voice of God. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And we are to avoid always the adulterous woman. We see this even in verse 15 of our chapter. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. But again in Proverbs 7:25 and 27, let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. The way of folly is described in verse 32. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So we are to avoid that which is contrary to God and his law. We are to hearken, to listen to God and his word, as we will see. And there is an urgency to this, dear Christian. To whom do you listen? To whom do you listen, not only in this day, but throughout your week? Are you following the way of the Lord or the way of the world? Is your faith in the Lord or in an idol, which is but nothing? There's an urgency in this of who we listen to, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Listen to the voice of God and his word. What then are the means that we should listen to God? We are to be quick to listen. We are told throughout the scriptures that in dealing with one another, we are to be slow to speak and quick to listen, quick to hear. How much more so with the Lord should we be quick to listen? What are the means then of how we should listen to God? Well, we should first be warned against false means. False ways that people say God speaks. There are false gods. Not everyone that uses the name of God and the name of Christ is believing in God and in Christ. You must investigate what is being claimed. 1 Corinthians 8:4-6 tells us, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one, But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And so we must not listen to the idols of this world, whatever they may be, but the one true and living God. And we are not to listen to false preachers. False preachers. Those who even come in the name of the Lord, they would say, but are using the name of the Lord in vain. Like Hananiah and the other false prophets in Jeremiah's day, who God describes that they say unto them that despise God, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. These early prosperity preachers of their day that say to you who go about in your sin, God's fine with that. That's false preaching. And God says, do not listen to it, for it leads to destruction. Heed the word of the living God. And so the true and the only means that God uses to speak to his people is his word, the Bible, the scriptures. That word which is breathed out by God, which God has preserved for his church. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. John says, test the spirits. Test everything by the word of God. The true and the only means God uses to speak to his people is his word. And so if someone comes to you and says, I have a word from the Lord for you, and then they proceed to do anything apart from quoting scripture, do not heed it. So John Owen even says that these experiences or these prophecies or whatever they may be, if they are in disagreement with the word of God, they are wrong. And if they are in agreement with the word of God, they are unnecessary, because God has given us his sufficient word. So even Abraham said to the rich man in hell, when he said, go back and tell my brothers, he said, they have the law and the prophets. If they do not listen to them, they will not believe anything, even if a man was raised from the dead. God has given his word. And this is how he speaks. This is the voice of God. It is his word. But you may have in your heart this issue of assurance. You say, how do I know that I'm listening to God and his word? My question to you first is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you say, no, my faith isn't in Christ, I'm trusting in myself, or I'm trusting children, I'm trusting in my parents, or I'm trusting in something other than the perfect righteousness, the death and the resurrection of Christ, then may this be the day of salvation for you. For you are born in your sin and dead in your trespasses and sin, and you've broken God's law continuously. But God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, lived in perfect righteousness. He died for sinners. He rose from the grave so that all who look to him by faith and repentance from their sins, all who call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. So turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and hearken to his voice this day. For as long as it is called today, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah and Massah, but listen to the Lord. If your trust is in the Lord, and you say, but I don't know that I'm listening to him, you can trust the work of the Holy Spirit through the word of God. As you make diligent use of God's word, because he has given you this precious promise. John 10:27-28, the chief shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall they any man pluck them out of my hand. And so, Christian, as you listen to God's word and you say, how do I know that I'm really listening? If you're in Christ, his spirit causes you to listen. And he grows you in your obedience. And so make diligent use of this means of God's word as he speaks to his people. And go forth in faith, trusting the Lord. Your sanctification is not in your own strength, but it's in the work of God and his grace. What then are the characteristics of listening well to the word of God? You say, well, I'm listening to God and his word, but how do I know I'm listening well? Well, there are many ways that we could describe that, but let's consider just two. How do we know we're listening well to God and his word? First, when we believe upon the whole of who God is. When we believe all of what God says he is and what he has done, and we submit ourselves, we put ourselves under the authority of his word. We are to believe upon the whole of who God is. Just as the Israelites were commanded to eat the whole Passover lamb and not let anything remain until morning, we are to believe upon the whole of Christ and delight in the whole of God's majesty. And so in your prayers, as you praise the Lord, praise him for the wide wonder of his attributes. As you read God's word and as you respond to God and his word through prayer, praise him for all of the things that have been laid out in his word. And pray that he would make you to apply all the commands that you have read in his word. Believe upon the whole of who God is, what he has done, and what he says we are to do. And second, in considering listening well to the voice of God and his word, hear the whole counsel of God. Read the whole counsel of God. And this follows naturally from the first application. If we delight in the whole of who God is, and what he has done and what he has commanded, then we will delight in the whole of his voice, in the whole of his word. So Christians, we should be diligent in reading and meditating upon the whole of Scripture. Upon the whole of Scripture. From beginning to end. How easy it is for us to get bogged down at times in one portion, or more often than not, we find nowadays to say, well, I don't understand that, so I don't want to deal with it. Christian, listening well to God and his word, listening unto the voice of God, that is to read and his word and hear his word preached, means that we should delight in the whole counsel of God. And as we consider the joy that God has given us a song book in the middle of his word, how rich that it describes the whole of God in his attributes and in his work of redemption, so that it has been called throughout the history of the church that mini Bible. So that even as we consider the psalms that God has given us to sing, we consider the whole counsel of God. And there is a blessing promise. Do not neglect this. God has given us exceeding and great and precious promises. And there is a blessing promised. There is a fruit that is promised that is according to its root. That you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a blessing promised, and that is the remainder of our verse. So we are to heed the word of God. We are to listen to the voice of Christ. We are to believe upon him. Hear the voice of the shepherd. And we find these two blessings, our final two points here. The first of which is the Christian's dwelling in safety. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Now, what could it possibly mean, shall dwell in safety? Well, this is not regarding the law. This is not a promise regarding the law. Meaning that while it is common for obedience to the law to bring some blessing, such as, for instance, when you're a faithful steward of what God has given, he continues to give our daily bread, this dwelling in safety is not of that nature. We know this very simply because Christ perfectly obeyed the law, and yet he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We know that in following the Savior, in 2 Timothy 3:12, we're told that all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We saw last time that all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so what does it mean that we shall dwell safely? What is not regarding the law, but rather it is regarding the hope of the gospel, the nature of the gospel. It is the safety that God promises to all who hear and heed the voice of the shepherd, that to all who look to the Lord Jesus Christ, their sins have been forgiven by him. And him perfectly keeping the law of God, dying on the cross, he took upon all of the sins of all of his bride, of all of his sheep, of all of the elect, taking upon himself all of the sins that we in turn would receive his righteousness, that the wrath of God has been fully satisfied in Jesus Christ. And so the promise is given to those who listen to the voice of Christ: you shall dwell safely. But you say and object, but I don't feel that I'm living in safety now. Well, first, we are to be on guard that we are not expecting something that God has not promised. Are you looking for something in the life that God has not said, I will give to you? He tells Christians, pick up your cross and follow him. How can we expect the crown, as it were, without the cross? Christ first went through suffering and humiliation and then received glory and exaltation. David was the Lord's servant. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet he lived most of his life on the run from his enemies. Let us not expect something God has not promised. The second, you may be sure, dear Christian, that you are under the unique and loving providence of God. So much so that God has promised that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. That to his church, he says, you are loved with an everlasting love. And so you may be encouraged by the unique loving providence of God. Third, also, we must note that just as with all of the Lord's blessings, God does not always or even often bless us with this safety in the way that we would expect. When the Israelites entered into the land the Lord gave to them, they were kept safe, but not in the way that you may think of, not in a way that would make them complacent or lazy. Rather, the Lord kept them safe by leaving other enemies around them so that each generation might learn to war and teach their children to war so that they would continue to dwell safely. And it is much the same with us today, that the trials and sufferings and afflictions in our life, that the Lord continues to send us trials in his providence so that we would continue to look to him by faith and persevere and be an example to others, to teach others to do the same. But we are always kept safe by God's grace and the blood of Jesus, so that you who listen to the voice of Christ dwell in safety, even though you may not think of it in the way that you expect. God is gracious and keeps his word. And this is the wonder of the gospel. Martin Luther put it this way: the law says, do this, and it is never done. Grace says, believe in this, and everything is already done. We do not hearken unto Christ, and on the merit of our listening, dwell in safety. But rather, because God would have us to dwell in safety through the merit of his Son, he causes us to listen to him, and we are sealed by his Spirit, and will continue to be kept safe. And so this is the hope that we shall dwell safely. Jesus said unto the woman, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Christian, you shall dwell safely, for God has prepared a place for you. And though you travail in this time of labor and tears and sorrow in this world, though many of us also have the great blessing of joy and exceeding blessing throughout this life, Our great hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only in his death, but his resurrection. For just as we have been united to him in his death, so we also shall receive that resurrection on the last day. So the Christian shall dwell safely. And third, we find the Christian's quiet from the fear of evil. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Or shall be secure, shall be at ease from the fear of calamity and destruction. This is the promise, or rather first, the promise that the Christian shall dwell safely speaks to the eternal hope of the Christian in the gospel. And the promise that the one who listens to Christ shall be quiet from fear of evil speaks to the Christian's experience of the peace of God in this life. That as we have our eyes fixed upon the Lord, and as we listen to his word and reading and preaching, the Christian will have peace in the midst of all things, including suffering. As the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, who is given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. For in this thing, he says, I besought the Lord thrice that it may depart from me. And God said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So that Paul, looking to the Lord and hearing and heeding the voice of God, had peace. Because God's grace is sufficient. That we would have quiet from the fear of evil and uncertainty. As David cried out in Psalm 28, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. If thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Or even in dying, as Stephen, and following the example of the Savior as he was dying, called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Because he hearkened unto the voice of his master. To be quiet from the fear of evil is to be content with the will and providence of God, knowing that it is truly of grace, though you do not understand it in the moment. And let us not forget the order that God puts forth in his word here. That he begins with a call to faith, that we would hearken unto his voice, that we would listen to his voice. And then he moves to the eternal hope that we have in the gospel, that we shall dwell safely. And it is then, as we look to God, and as our hope is set firmly upon the Lord, that we may be instructed in the way of peace in this life. But to those who say, I do not feel such peace, where is this peace that the Lord has promised? My life is filled with woe, my heart with anxiety, and I want to know the peace of God. This is often a reality of the Christian experience, whether it's in seasons of great trouble or moments of weak faith, whether it's through the lies of Satan, who is the accuser, or from the burden of a conscience, which is sin. Perhaps you have lost even the sense of your assurance and standing in Christ. We know that there is a need for self-examination in light of God's word, that we should examine ourselves and our standing. We read that we should make our calling and election sure. But our examination should not lead to despondency and a further driving inward. But rather it should drive us upward to look to God and to hear his voice again. And so Asaph says in Psalm 73 that he was like a beast. He was as a beast. That is, all he was doing was looking around. All beasts do is they look down and they look around at what's going on. But the remedy he found was when he went into the sanctuary of God, and then he understood. He looked up. And what was it in the temple that made him understand? What was there? The sacrifice, that great shadow of the cross. The cross which puts all things in its proper perspective. So let us look to Christ. You who do not have peace in this moment, hear the voice of Christ in his word. May you consider these two encouragements to aid you in your perseverance this day for all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is this: pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Cry out to your Father, who not only knows your needs, but also the desires of your heart. Remember that he encourages you, Christian, to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And indeed, Christ himself has taught us to pray this very text we consider. For we are to pray that our Heavenly Father would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That we pray to the Lord in that petition that the Lord would deliver us from evil. That is, that we would have a quiet from the fear of evil. That we would trust in the Lord. So pray to the Lord. Secondly, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Christ has given us the manner for singing his praise and even singing our sorrows. Consider Psalm 39, 12 through 13. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. So that we sing and praise the Lord with our sorrows, but do not forget what immediately follows that verse and then very next, or that verse in the next psalm. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. Indeed, we sang earlier of God's promise to make us have quiet from the fear of evil. And Psalm 4, you fill my heart with joy beyond when wine and grain increase. Since you alone, Lord, keep me safe, I'll go to sleep in peace. Well, if we are not having a fear of evil, a fear of calamity and destruction, what then is to be the Christian's fear? Well, we are not to fear the power of man. Isaiah 51:12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass? We don't fear the power of man. We don't even fear the opinions of man. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So it's not the fear of the power of man, not the fear of man itself and his opinions, not even illness and death should be our fear. Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So if we do not have fear of these things, what is our fear? It is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So as we fear the Lord, as we consider wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but do not forget that the end of the law is love. And so we move in our Christian life from this fear to this love for the Lord. We have such a reverence and awe before the Lord, and that continues always through the Christian life. But we also continue to grow in our love for him as we continue to listen to the voice of Christ and the word of God. Our hearts growing in love because Christ speaks comfort to his people that we should not fear, that we should have quiet from the fear of evil. For he says in Isaiah 40, 1 through 2, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortly to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort the people of God that the iniquity has been pardoned. That is to say that Christ takes upon himself our sins. That is the Christian's comfort that we have. And that he leads us to not have fear. So the Christian then, having peace with God, may then have peace from God throughout this life. That just as Israel was promised that their enemies would not pursue them in their land when they were to go up and appear before the Lord for the thrice a year to keep the feasts, the Christian can know that we are safe in Christ and need not fear the evil of this world. The cross of Christ has conquered death and the devil. Christ is called the Prince of Peace. He is the Good Shepherd, safely leading his sheep, even through the severest of providences. So that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Holy Spirit is the comforter and is the seal of our salvation. And so Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that God stays us, he calms us through this peace, which is given through Jesus Christ. That we who have heard the voice of Christ in the Word, have heard and heeded the voice of the Good Shepherd, have peace with God. And having peace with God, we are given peace from God. And so Charles Bridges sums up this passage. He says, Solomon closes here with the sunshine of promise. Are you, reader, like God's own child, hearkening unto him? Then you are under his cover, where no evil can reach you, dwelling not only safely, but assured of safety, quiet even from fear of evil, as Noah and the ark in conscious security while the world was perishing around him. May you this morning and throughout this week and throughout all your days, as God would give you, may you heed the word of the triune God by faith. And in doing so, may he grant you his peace, which is purchased for you by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And may God bless his word to us. Let us pray. Almighty and glorious and gracious God, we thank you for salvation, which is freely given, all of your grace to those whom you call to yourself by the work of your Holy Spirit, through the means of your word, to look to Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Father, we pray that indeed we would heed your word, that we would listen to you, that we would flee from all other voices which are contrary to your word, that we would judge all things by the standard of Scripture. And Father, we pray that in doing so, that you would give to your people comfort and hope that we shall dwell safely with you, and that you would give to us your peace. We do pray that you would apply these things which we have seen from your word and heard this day to our own hearts, that we should believe these things, to our own minds, that we should think upon these things, and to our own lives, that we should act and do accordingly. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.